Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. So excited that you're here. We hope that you enjoy this week's talk and it really connects to your life in a meaningful way. If you're live in the Pomona area, we would love to have you at one of our gatherings at 10 a.m. or at one of our Humanity groups that meet all throughout the week, all over the city. If you want more information about our community, you can go to www.humanitychurch.com or download our app on your phone on Apple or Android. If you like what you're hearing here and want to continue to support the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977 and give back financially in just about 10 seconds. Hey, and here's this week's talk that was given live at our Sunday gathering at Humanity Church.
Have you been around Humanity long enough, you know that I love Christmas. I'm like, go big or go home at Christmas time. And the other thing is that I hate preaching at Christmas time because it's like, how many times can you tell the same story over and over again, right? It's like at our house, there's a few movies that we've, like when the kids ask to watch them, we're like, we can't do it again. We cannot watch Cars another time. If Elsa sings Let It Go one more time, I'm going to do something manic, right? And so at Christmas times, it feels like, here we go again with the same story. And a lot of times, preachers will either do something really kitschy, like, oh, we're doing Christmas at the movies this year, or we're doing Charlie Brown Christmas, right? And I'm not into that. Or they'll just go traditional, and I'm not really into that either way. And so this year, as we talked about what we were going to engage as a community over the next few weeks, as we dived into Christmas, we really wanted to tackle this subject of darkness. And really not talking about darkness, but tackling darkness, both internally and externally, that we would fully engage the conversation around what destroys the light that is available to us at Christmas time, that we might actually be able to say with some integrity when we sing the line in Silent Night that all is bright, and that we might be able to step into that moment together. See, Christmas is known as the season of light, and that's part of what makes Christmas Christmas. Yesterday, we hung about 30,000 lights around this room with trees and garland and out in the hallway with Christmas trees and around the building. We love light at this time. It's why we drag trees into our house and string them up with lights, because there's something magical that when you turn off the normal lights and let those sparkly lights shine, something beautiful happens. It's the year that we sing about chestnuts roasting on an open fire, right? It'll be like 90 degrees in Southern California. People wear sweaters, right? Because there's just something about the warmth and the light of this season that's so beautiful, both externally and then that feeling internally that comes as we celebrate the light together at Christmas time. Because I believe that all of humanity is on a search for beauty, that we are on a search for meaning and purpose and life. And at Christmas times, it makes us feel like we found it, or maybe it found us. But something happens at Christmas time that is so beautiful. There's something about the light that draws us into it in the midst of the darkness. And we use this external element of light to describe this internal reality of the light and the darkness that lives inside of us. Marla gave some stats earlier that were quite shocking, but the fact is that so many of us at the holidays, it's anything but bright, that we actually struggle to find the light in a season that should be filled with light, that is known as the season of light. Some studies were done recently by one of the leading mental health associations, and the staggering statistics are overwhelming right now with what's taking place just within the United States. Fact is that 1 out of 10 adults struggle with severe depression in any given moment in their life. That the leading cause of disability among 15 to 44-year-olds is nothing physical, but it is something that takes place spiritually and mentally inside of us, and that is depression. Suicide is the primary cause of someone's death every 12 minutes in the United States. And just to give you some understanding that over 41,000 people take their lives as the result of depression, but homicide only kills about 16,000 people, more than double of the national statistics. 40 million people in the United States are suffering with severe anxiety. 1 out of 4 high school students will suffer from severe anxiety. On top of that, the APA found that 40% of all Americans are more anxious today than they were a year ago. Now, those statistics are staggering. The interesting thing to me is that all of this is taking place while we exist in the most advanced, arguably most comfortable society that we've ever been in. And that's not to make light of anything, but you can understand why one out of four high school students might be anxious in a time where one out of four might die from the plague, right? But we live in a very different society where we have more than we need at times, that there's more available to us, and there's more comforts and more available to us financially and resources than we've ever had, and yet it seems like we are drowning in darkness in the middle of all of this. And the thing is that it is interesting that at the season of light, it's the time when the darkness feels the strongest. Isn't that interesting? That at the season where the light should be shining the most bright, it's also the season where the darkness seems to overtake so many of us. That these two extremes pull at one another. And that the reality is that's how much of life is, right? Isn't that interesting? That as the light shines, the darkness also seems to get brighter. As the heartache comes, there's beauty that comes with it as well. And there's this pulling that takes place at times in humanity that tugs us into opposite directions of one another. And the Christmas story really is no different. When you look at the Christmas story, it is this story filled with so much hope and beauty, and it is filled with so much despair and heartbreak and hopelessness all at the same time. It's interesting how they can all be jam-packed in the exact same moment. Now, we tend to romanticize Christmas, and we'll talk about that over the next few weeks as to how we romanticize Christmas, and I love romanticizing Christmas, trust me. But we almost throw out all of the darkness and focus only on the beauty and the light that takes place in the middle of this, but we tend to romanticize things that are meaningful to us. Have you ever gone back to something in your childhood that you thought was going to be really magical, and then you went back and you're like, wait, this is not as cool as I thought it was? A few years ago, when we were meeting at the Glass House, a band from my younger years was playing their Story of the Year. And some of you are young enough to know what that is. And I thought, this is going to be amazing. I'm going to take Marlo. We're going to get a babysitter. I'm going to be 13 again. We're going to mosh pit. It's going to be awesome, right? So we talked to the Cameron who oversees the Glass House, and he got us tickets. And so we get all ready to go. We go in. We're like ready to rock and roll. And then the band gets up. And they're like 50-year-old dudes. I was like, wait, what happened to them? Life has not treated them well, right? I'm like, okay, well, you know, we've all aged. That's okay. And the ironic thing was there's a bunch of like 35-year-olds all in this mosh pit as well, right? We're no longer 13 pretending to be. And then they start playing. And instantly, I think to myself, this is way too loud. I know. I instantly thought to myself, this is not safe hearing levels at all. When I saw concerts here, it was never this loud, right? And that's when it started to set in that I was becoming an old man at that moment. And then they started singing the songs that had been anthems of my youth. And I thought, these lyrics are silly. Like, they make no sense. Are you really this distraught over a girl who left you, right? Is life really this hard? But then the thing is, they just kept repeating the same lyrics over and over. And I'm like, there is no intellectual depth to this music whatsoever. And it's not even really that great of music. And about three songs in, I look at Marla and I'm like, you ready to go? She's like, yeah, well, I'm ready to go. And we were out. And I have pledged from that day to never, ever see one of my childhood bands ever again. I would rather live in the romanticized version of my youth than go back and experience and realize that I was just young and naive in the middle of all of that. But see, I feel like that's at times what we do with Christmas. Like, we have this beautiful nativity set, and we have this beautiful moment with Mary and Joseph and angels and wise men. And let me tell you, I've been in the room after a birth has taken place, and it does not look like that. And we tend to romanticize how beautiful this moment is, but the reality is that the nativity story is a moment of chaos and beauty. It is a moment of darkness, and it is a moment of light. It is a moment where everything is falling apart, and all of the universe is coming together all at the same time, and that feels a lot like life. That feels a lot like life. And it's in the midst of darkness that the light shines the brightest. Now, this may not fit into your category this year. You may be here and think, I'm not in that space. I don't have darkness that's overwhelming you. And that's great, that this is not your season. The fact of the matter is that we all go through seasons of darkness. But this may be a season for someone else. It may be the season for someone sitting next to you, or your children, or your spouse, or your parents, or your coworkers. And so this conversation is so important to step into. And I think this is oftentimes why Jesus is referred to and refers to himself as light. Over and over and over again. He refers to himself as a lot of things, but one of the things that he primarily calls himself so that we could understand the spiritual reality is light. In fact, turn with me to John 1:1. If you have a copy of your scriptures this morning, you can pull those out. It's on the app. If you need a copy of the scriptures, just raise your hand. We'd love to give you one. But in John 1:1, John starts talking about Jesus entering into the human story here. And in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." See, we celebrate God becoming man at Christmas, and with that, we celebrate the light coming into the human story, into the human narrative with this. And it's interesting that John connects these two elements together when he talks about light, and they're almost always together. When you read his book later on in the scriptures, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he was a little advanced there. But in 1st John, he talks oftentimes about how this element of life and this element of light are intimately connected with one another. See, light always goes with life, and you cannot have life without light. See, the sun, the physical sun, we are so reliant on it for our life. And oftentimes we don't think about it. I mean, how many times have you gotten out and you think, "I'm just so grateful for the sun today, for your beautiful vitamin D that you're giving to me," right? Only Juan does that, but the rest of us don't. The rest of us don't. Oftentimes we don't think about how reliant we are upon the sun, but the fact of the matter is it's the sun that gives us everything that we need to survive. That without the sun, it's one of the most critical elements to have all the food that we eat. It provides nutrients. It regulates all of our internal clocks. Circadian rhythms is based on that. We need the light from the sun for our skin. See, without the physical light, if the sun was to go out tomorrow, we would be dead. And so light and life are intimately connected to one another. And not just to survive physically. See, there was actually a time that when the sun went down, life ended. Like life stopped. See, we have these wonderful things called lights and cars and cell phones. But there was a time in human history when the light went down and everything else was over. There was no TVs, there was no movies, there were no coffee shops to go to. See, in our modern world, we take light for granted because we continue on with it. But the interesting thing is that in our modern society, we are lost and hopeless when there is a blackout, aren't we? Especially at night. We're like, what do we do? What are those things called candles, right? Someone find a candle. I remember when we had a blackout a few years ago that lasted for about 24 hours. I kept thinking, what are we supposed to do with our lives right now? And I kept thinking, I'll just do email. Oh, the internet's down. Oh, I'll just, the stove's down. Oh, I'll just, and literally life ended. I was like, oh, I guess we're gonna have to talk to one another, right? We're gonna have to play like a board game. Is that what they're called, right? Or a puzzle, because life ended with the light in the middle of that. And life ends where light ends. And spiritually, the same thing happens, that our life ends when our light ends, that they are intimately connected with one another. And it's interesting that in this moment, at Christmas time, God actually had to bring the light back to humanity, because it was him that put it there in the first place. In fact, the entire narrative of the scriptures opens up with this story, that God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. It's the very first thing that he speaks into existence, that he put it into motion with all of human story, and then somewhere along the way, the light got lost. That in our own brokenness and in the human decision to enter into our own darkness, the light of all mankind was lost in the middle of this. And now, rather than human beings being defined by light, we were defined by brokenness. We were defined by our darkness. We were defined by all of the things that weren't working rather than all the beauty that we were stepping into. See, what is so fascinating about this is that God has to bring the light back in the story, because we as human beings actually have the ability to diminish the light. Yeah. That is a part of our freedom that God has gifted us. is that we actually get to choose if the light shines or if it doesn't. That we actually have the choice to allow light to illuminate the world around us or to be shut down within us, to live in the darkness. And while we have the ability to choose how much light radiates from our life, we do not have the ability to snuff it out. We do not have the ability to stop it, to end it in any way, shape, or form, because it actually was never our light to begin with. There was never actually light within us to begin with. See, there's somehow this popular idea that has been birthed into our culture that there is our light that is radiating and that we somehow need to take care of it and protect it and hide it under a bushel. No, right? In fact, I hate to tell you, but this little light of mine is a complete lie. That there is no little light inside of us that is available to us because there's nothing there. Or that we just somehow need to shine harder, that we're like light constipated. And if we just try harder, we can shine if we try, right? But the fact of the matter is that there actually is no light. See, we don't actually operate like the sun. We actually operate more like the moon. That the moon has no light of its own. The only thing that the moon does is reflect the light. The only thing the moon does is it takes the light from the sun and it bounces it back to us. And there are nights when the moon has more or less light, but that doesn't diminish the source. It only diminishes what we see. And so while the moon has the ability to give more or less light, it never actually keeps the sun from shining at the same brightness every single day, 100% of the time. The source never changes. See, this should be good news, because the beautiful thing is that you are not responsible for shining your own light. But here's the annoying thing, is that you cannot produce your own light. See, we don't like this idea of being reliant on another person, do we? We as human beings resist this idea that we are 100% reliant on another human being, let alone a God who is out there that we are reliant upon to give us light to step into. See, I don't know about you, but I would much rather be self-sufficient. I would much rather be able to do things on my own, to not have to step into this place, not needing another. But when we stop resisting our need to be our own light, that's the moment that we'll find it. The moment that we stop resisting the fact that we have no light within us, that's the moment that the light will come in the brightest. That we can actually start reflecting the light that's available to us. See, you will never, ever, ever be bright enough. But when you connect to Jesus, he will be. Because his source, like the sun, is unending. And there's this beauty in this, that Jesus, through John, he reminds us that Jesus is the light of all mankind. See, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have this idea that God's stingy with his light. That he's almost like, here, let me give you a little piece. Have you ever like needed some light from God? And you're like, it just feels really dark, God. Can I get some light here? Could you throw me a bone here or a ray or a photon, whatever, right? Just a little. Oh, I just need a little to make this happen in the middle of here. And it almost feels like God's somehow hoarding his light and that he's angry with us and that he's not interesting to step into the conversation with us about light. But what John says is that he is the light of all mankind. In fact, if you go down just a little bit from John 1 to John chapter 3, he continues this conversation about light starting in verse 17. But he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already. They have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. See, God never, ever brings his light to condemn us. God never, ever is interested in using the light that he is generously giving us to condemn us. Because the fact of the matter is that we've all experienced those moments where the light has been used to expose us, haven't we? someone finds out something or something's revealed about us and suddenly we feel exposed, naked, vulnerable. And we think, I just want to do everything possible to cover back up, to keep it hidden, to not be seen, because if anyone finds out, then they'll think, fill in the blank. See, God is not actually caring like an investigator's light, playing a gotcha game with you. He's not interested in shining his light, saying, gotcha, I saw that over there. I know what you did last summer, right? He's not interested in that. That's not the conversation that he finds himself in at any moment. See, the reality is that it's not God who is stingy with his light. He's actually giving it generously to illuminate us. What John tells us, it's that we loved darkness more. Is that we actually preferred darkness over the light. Now, don't worry, we're not crazy. But I would say that we as a species, just like John says, at times prefer the darkness. And you're not crazy. Because there's a reason for everything that we do. There's a reason why we, as a species, prefer the darkness internally over the light. See, because we will do whatever it takes to avoid exposing anything that will make us look bad. Anything that will make us look shameful. Anything that will make us look less than perfect or the ideal image that we have of ourselves. And we will spend an exhausted amount of energy attempting to stay hidden, to stay covered up, to stay in the dark, to avoiding all the exposure of the insecurities, of those thoughts that you know are going to lead you into darkness, over the lies that we live in, over the brokenness, over those areas in our lives that we think if anyone found out, I don't know what would happen. See, all those things we work so hard to cover up in the darkness becomes our best friend when we're attempting to stay hidden from one another. And then we start hating the light because it feels like it's exposing us. God is inviting us into the light saying, hey, I'd like to bring you some light. We're like, no, not here. Just keep it away from this area of my heart. Keep it away from this area of my mind. Keep it away from this area of my spirit or my body. I'm not interested in having anyone else know about that area. And so we start to hate the light. And the thing is, the longer that we stay there, the more our spiritual eyes become distorted to the light. That we do adapt to the darkness, but we actually become distorted from what we can see. See, we actually cannot see things in the dark. Have you ever found yourself in the dark and then all of a sudden you start hearing things? And you're like, what is that, right? Well, what's that noise over there? Let me tell you, this building's a scary place to be in at night in the dark. And there have been evenings where I've been up in my office and I hear a bump or a creak and I think, what was that? And I don't want to go out in the dark because who knows what's there? See, that's the thing that the dark does, is it starts to create suspicion in us about who other people are, about who God is, about who the world is. And suddenly people are out to get us rather than a gift. Suddenly we want to isolate from one another because we might be exposed if they came near us and we can't actually see what's good and what's actually painful in the middle of this. We actually can't see the path towards light, so we start walking in death and we wonder why our life starts falling apart. See, the scary thing about that is we actually eventually will forget that we were in the dark to begin with. And we start saying things like, well, this is just the way life is. These are just the cards that I've been dealt. I guess this is what I have to suffer with through the rest of our lives. This is just it. And there is this extreme hopelessness in the darkness. See, there's actually this phenomenon that's taking place in our culture as I've been working with people who suffer from anxiety and depression. And it almost moves from something that is taking place in a moment to an identity. And it moves from, I'm anxious right now, to I have anxiety. It moves from I'm experiencing depression right now to I am depressed. And don't you dare take that away from me. Right. Now, I don't make light of that, but this is what happens. The longer that we stay in the darkness will inform us that this is who we are, not just a moment that we step into. And God brings his light not to expose us, but he brings his light as an invitation. It's like an invitation that we receive in the mail to a party. And that party is freedom. He's saying, hey, I would like to bring light into your life so that you could experience something beyond this life that you've settled for here and now. This meager existence rather than the abundance that I have for you that is available. Have you ever had one of those moments where you start working and the lights are off, but you have sun coming through the window and you're working, and all of a sudden you realize hours later that you're in the dark working and someone turns on the light and it's like, whoa, what just happened, right? And it's oftentimes someone saying, hey, I'm just trying to give you a little light. And it's like, what are you doing, right? Because it takes a moment for your eyes to adjust in the middle of all of that. But when God comes to us, what he's actually saying is, hey, let me help you here. Let me turn on some light. You've been living in darkness for a little longer than you needed to. And you didn't even realize it. So let me turn on some light. See, here's what the Christmas story is. The Christmas story is God saying, no, really, I am not here to condemn you. No, really, I am not interested in being distant and disconnected and looking at you with shame and punishment. I am interested in stepping into your story with light. I am not out to get you. See, I love that John says that this is the verdict. The light has come into the light so that our deeds could be exposed, so that we could know that whatever we've done has already been done in the sight of God. See, we actually start telling us this lie in the darkness that God doesn't really know about this. Have you ever thought that before? Like, hey, I can engage in this act of darkness, or I can engage in this practice, and God doesn't really know about this. But I love that he says, look, all this stuff that you've done, all the thoughts that you've had, all the behaviors you've engaged in, all the attitudes that you've had towards the world around you, he already sees it anyways. So when you step into the light, God doesn't go, what? Didn't know that was coming, right? Didn't know that was there. But he looks at it and he says, hey, I get it. I already see it. So we might as well shine some light on it so that you don't have to stay in the dark. See, what kills you is not the darkness. It's what kills you is the darkness, not the deed. What kills you is staying in the darkness, not whatever action got you into the darkness. But we spend so much time and energy keeping ourselves hidden when God is just saying, look, if you would just shine some light, you will not find condemnation, but you will find freedom. See, what seems more possible or plausible? That God would actually send his only son into the world to die on our behalf so that he could condemn us? Or would he send his only son into the world to die on our behalf so that he could actually set us free and illuminate the darkness? See, that is the more plausible narrative that God is informing us of. And I love how Paul says this in Ephesians 5, verse 8. Turn with me there. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, he says this to us. For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord, having nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes light. That is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. See, when you connect to Jesus, your life becomes illuminated. And I love that he says, you were once in darkness, but now you are light. See, I love that he doesn't say, you were once in darkness, but now you are in light. See, if the darkness takes all of your brokenness and allows that to become your identity, I am depressed, I am anxious, I am a failure, I am no good, I am never going to get ahead. What God does when he shines his light on, he says, I'm gonna do the same thing. I will allow this to become your identity. So you're not in light, you are light. So let that become your identity. Let that inform everything that you do all around you. See, isn't it so much easier for us to have faith in our ability to live in the darkness than it is in the light? I am so much more confident in my ability to screw things up. I mean, I have so much faith in my ability to wreck things And yet for some reason, when it comes to just simply stepping into the light, I feel faithless at times. I feel like, what is this? But I love that Paul here is saying, look, it's time for an identity shift to recognize that you are light. I remember I was working with a health coach one time, and it was in a season where my health was really, really bad. And I remember on the phone with her, her name's Sarah Grebe, awesome friend, and she looked at me, and she said, on the Zoom there, and she said, you are a healthy man. And I thought, you probably don't know what you're talking about, right? But she said, no, you are healthy. You are a healthy individual. She said, you're just a healthy individual making really, really unhealthy choices. And I remember thinking, oh, that's true. Because I actually know that these choices are unhealthy. I actually know that these choices are going to lead to a future that I don't want. So that informs me that I'm healthy. That informs me that I know that these decisions are going to move me towards darkness. So that informs that there's some health inside of me. And what she was saying is, look, this is your identity, that you are healthy, and you are acting outside of your identity. And when Paul says, look, you were once in darkness, but now you are in light, so live as children of light. He's saying, look, you are not a dark individual when you connect to Jesus. The second you connect to him, your identity shifts to light. So stop living as if you are children of darkness. Start living as if you are children of light. And that is the beautiful thing about this, that we would start seeing ourselves as children of light. Now, I know even as I say that, some of you are like, have that dreaded but in your head, right? Well, I'm a children of light, but you don't know, right? But all the buts that live there, right? But this is the beautiful place, is that he says, start living from a place of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Because that is what light consists of. Is that if you will start just hunting out the goodness in this life, you will start living in a place of righteousness. If you will start pursuing truth, your identity will actually match up with your reality. And you will be light in the middle of all of this. And then he invites us to do something incredibly counterintuitive and incredibly scary. He says this. He says, when you see yourselves engaging in any action or thought or lie or behavior that would move you into the dark, he says, just expose them. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like that part of this. I'm all about light and children of light, right? But then he gets to that, and I'm like, maybe, right? Because he basically says this, that when you find yourself there, start exposing them. Could you imagine what would happen if we just started coming to each other, like, how you doing? I yelled at my kids this week, right? How you doing? I really don't like my spouse right now, and I'm thinking about leaving, but hey, there's where things are at. Right? Hey, how you doing? I thought about cussing out my boss in my mind this week. I did actually cuss out my boss to my coworkers. I lied about X, Y, Z this week. I didn't keep any promises this week. Could you imagine what would take place if we just started exposing all of the darkness and said, this is no longer going to hold me captive, but I'm just going to start exposing it to the light around me. Now, see, there's a difference between celebrating the darkness and exposing the darkness. See, because some of us have just celebrated the darkness. We've just allowed it to take over and just rent a room somewhere and take over life. But he's actually saying, don't celebrate it. Just expose it. And the second that you expose it, it actually allows you to step into further freedom. See, when you celebrate the light, the darkness, it actually moves you into further darkness. When you expose it, it moves you into further freedom. And see, at Christmas, when the light comes, it's an invitation to see everything new, to reframe your identity and your relationship towards darkness and light, and to have something brand new take place. Because here's the thing, when you allow the light to shine in, you can actually start to see things clearly. You can actually start to see the beauty all around you, to wake up to the reality that there is hope, even in the midst of darkness. See, have you ever been in the middle of your darkness? In the middle of like one of those really dark, hopeless situations, and someone just says, just look on the bright side. That's so annoying, isn't it? There's nothing more annoying than that. And let me just say this, that is not what I'm asking you to do this Christmas. I am not asking you to try on some rosy pair of glasses and to see things from a positive perspective. This is not the positive power of thinking conversation. That is not this. What I'm asking you to do is believe from a new perspective. and to actually allow yourself to step into the light that was never yours to begin with, but that God freely gives you in the midst of the darkness, because there is always light. And here's the crazy thing that Paul tells us. He actually says that everything that is illuminated, all of the brokenness, all of the lies, all of the thoughts, all of the actions, all of the behavior, all of the areas that we've given up hope in, all the failures, all of those things, that when we expose them, they actually don't look ugly. They actually don't become the hideous monsters that we think they are. What he actually says is this. He says that everything that is illuminated also becomes light, that it becomes the source of light. See, that when we step into the light and allow ourselves to be vulnerable, allow ourselves to be seen and transparent, you're not just out there for the world to see like a spectacle. See, it's not like all of a sudden people now go, wow, they're a mess, right? But your greatest place of darkness will become the greatest source of hope for someone else if you will allow the light to shine in, if you will allow the light to enter in. Because in the darkest of places, both physically and spiritually, Jesus stepped into those places so that they could become light. And this really is the Christmas story, is that God himself would step into the most darkest of political, socioeconomical, spiritual situations and bring light in the midst of one of the most hopeless situations. And John gives us one of the most empowering spiritual phrases that we should just have memorized on the tip of our tongues. And he says this, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Other translations say the darkness cannot overcome it. See, I took an astronomy class in college, and one of the first things that they taught us as we were measuring light was that there is actually no such thing as darkness. There's actually no way to measure darkness. You can measure light, you can't measure darkness. That darkness is only measured by the amount of light that is present or not present. So there actually is no such thing as darkness. There is only the availability of light and the lack of light in any situation. So there is only illumination or there is lack of illumination inside of this. And here's the beautiful thing, is all you need is a glimmer, a speck of light to light up the darkness. So you can spend your whole life shouting at the darkness, worrying about it, in agony about if it's ever going to go away, thinking, is this ever going to get fixed? Am I ever going to move forward? Is this ever going to be out of my life? Is this ever going to not be a thing? And you can feel free to spend your energy doing that. Or you can simply step into the light. So you can shout at the darkness or you can light a light. Those are your two options. But only one will actually move you towards a space of wholeness. See, and all you need is a glimmer of light. But the thing is that it's your choice whether or not you decide to let that external source of light shine in you and through you, or to remain in the darkness. And this Christmas, my invitation, our invitation, and most importantly, Jesus' invitation to you is this. He is saying, look, it doesn't have to be this way. That all is bright if you're willing to step into it, if you're willing to move there. But it's going to require you making the first move. The beautiful thing is that if you can diminish the light, you can step back into it. If you stepped away, you can step right back in. And this is not a promise of instantly having everything wonderful and merry and bright, but this is a promise that all things will be bright eventually. That one day, things will be made new, and that we will be illuminated, and that your identity can move from darkness to being light. Let's pray together. Jesus, I thank you that you are light. You are the light of men shining in the darkness. God, I thank you that you are our light and our life. God, I pray for those in this room who are struggling with darkness and hopelessness, with a sense of despair and anxiety. In fact, if that's you this morning with your eyes closed, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm here. I'm struggling with some type of like overwhelming thoughts, patterns all over this room. And I want you to know there's nothing that you have to do. You don't have to struggle your way out of the darkness. But if you just stay put and invite the light in, he will come and shine on you and you will become light. I just want to pray for you right now. Jesus, I thank you that you have come for darkness like this. That you looked down at us, you looked into our eyes, that you became man so that you could look eye to eye with us, and you saw the darkness and you had such sympathy. God, that you looked at our darkness and thought, this is not the way it will be. And so, God, we thank you that you came. And right now, God, we speak into the darkness of the depression, of the anxiety, of the overwhelm, God, of the situations that seem so overwhelming, God, of the addictions, God, of those relationships that are broken, of the heart longings that have not yet been fulfilled, God, of the financial breakdowns that feel like nothing's ever gonna come to pass. God, we speak light into those dark places. And if that's you with your hand up, just to yourself, in your own words, in your mind, just I want you to just tell Jesus to come right now and shine his light on you. That you don't have to do anything, but just say, come, I invite you. I no longer want to stay hidden. I no longer want to stay in the dark, God. And God, I ask that you would give these women and men courage to step into the light, knowing that their deeds and where they're at and the thoughts, you already know them. But God, bring your light. And we thank you this year, God, that we can declare with confidence that all is bright. And we will live from that reality. Even if it is not so right now, we will live from that reality and allow it to shift our identity. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Humanity Church podcast. We hope that this was a meaningful experience, and we look forward to connecting again next week for another conversation around what it looks like to live by faith, to be known by love, and to be a voice of hope. Again, for more information about Humanity Church, you can visit us online at humanitychurch.com. And if you want to support the ongoing work here at Humanity Church, including this podcast, you can give online in about 10 seconds by texting the word Humanity Church, one word, to 77977. Thanks, and have an amazing week.